Amen. Testing 1, 2, 3. We all good with the sound? Everybody hear me and everything? Oh, there we go. Amen. Well, we're going to be in Romans today. Good to see you. I am Pastor Waterloo, and it is good to be up. It's our first trip ever to Wyoming. So I'm curious, how many have never been to Oklahoma? Oh, wow. Okay. And so we've never been to Wyoming, so it's our invitation for you to come to Oklahoma now. How's that? You know, good stuff. And we do have coffee. And we have hunting as well, you know, and lakes and rivers, and that's about it, you know. So, but more than what, we don't have mountains. One southeast part, there is a mountain, you know, and I think we stole it from Arkansas, and that's about all we have. Everything else is flat, and we were looking forward to coming. We were both talking, going, we've never been up there. And so I asked your pastor today how you all do with humor. And I have a couple negatives about me you need to know right up front. I know I'm not supposed to tell you negatives, but since we're going to be family this week, you're stuck with me, okay? You know, but I can be, I like humor, and I talk really fast. You know, so you have to listen really fast. So you'll get about a 40-minute lesson, but it'll really be, I told you, Pastor, about an hour and 15 minutes. But since I talk so fast, you get bonus. You get a lot in just a very short time. How's that? You know, so, but we look forward to being with you all. Our church is named Central Baptist Church as well, Ponca City. And my wife and I have been married 40 years this year. And we have two boys, and one lives right next door. He's given us two granddaughters. And my other son's a pastor in Chicago. And so we're very blessed. They both married up like you normally do. And two beautiful daughter-in-laws, wonderful, wonderful ladies. We've told both our boys, don't mess this up, because we're keeping them. Amen. I mean, they're cleaner, they're nicer, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, so we're keeping the girls, you know, if you guys mess up. So good stuff. So, well, Romans 12 today, very classic verses. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard these verses before. Matter of fact, some of you have them memorized and probably could have quoted them today. In verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And it goes on to talk about being holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, again, very classic. These are classic verses because they're so powerful. Are you aware of that? When you become a classic scripture verse, all scripture is good, right? I mean, it's inspired of God. It's all good. You know, but why do we just hone in on some? Because they really are so important to Christianity and affect so many people. And so you go to the next verse, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Bible says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this morning for Sunday school, I want to talk about something dear in my heart. Usually when I'm going to revival, this is kind of my lead-off message on purpose. And here's why. I like that phrase at the bottom there, verse 12. It says, reasonable service. What is in other words, what is reasonably what God can expect out of us towards him? You know, I appreciate the hospitality already of your pastor and took us out to eat. And, of course, you go to a restaurant, you sit down, and it's reasonable for me to expect when I sit down at a restaurant that a waiter or waitress is going to come and they're going to say something like, what would you like to drink? And you're going to give a drink order. And they're going to come back a few minutes later and say, have you looked at the menu? Would you like to order now? And you're going to order. And after I order, within a reasonable amount of time, right? Whatever that is, you're talking and suddenly she shows up maybe with a salad and or maybe some soup and maybe some bread and, you know, an appetizer. And she's like, can I get you anything else? And man, a few minutes later, you got the food coming. And that's all what we call, you know, I expect that, don't you, when you go to a restaurant? I mean, if I'm going to sit down at a restaurant like that, now I don't get that from McDonald's. You know, McDonald's is totally different, you know, but I'm not talking about a sit down restaurant. It's reasonable to expect that. That's what you get. And I'm going to give a reasonable tip. I have to tip good because my wife used to be a waitress, you know, so I am stuck tipping good. Amen. You know, she like forces me, you know, so now I become a really good tipper. But I give this a standard tip, okay, is what I give, unless you go above and beyond. I mean, something more, you know, I don't know. You say, what would something more be? I mean, you just tell there's certain waiters and waitresses more attentive, you know, like my cup, I don't have to ask for another drink. You know, it's like while you're talking, all of a sudden they're giving me some more Coke Zero. I'm like, I like you. You know, whatever you need. I mean, they're just there. They're there and attentive. And often I'm like, I'm going to go up a couple percentage in that tip. Why? Because you did good. Or how about this? Maybe I'm there and I start choking. And that waiter or waitress comes over and gives me the Heimlich maneuver, you know, and saves my life. Can I tell you? They're getting a better tip. Amen. That's reasonable. You know, I'm going to give you something better. Why? Well, you went above and beyond. Or how about this? Some of you have kids. And when we had kids, sometimes you have a babysitter come. Let me tell you what I expect out of babysitters. When we got home, the kids were alive. The house did not burn down. Here's your money. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. If we ever came home and, man, the kids were in bed, the front room was cleaned up, she'd done the dishes, started on laundry. Can I tell you real quick? I'm going to adopt that kid. That girl's now part of our family. I'm not just hiring her. I am adopting. Why? Well, because she went above and beyond. I mean, you don't expect. That would be like service you don't expect. So here, I want to help you. I'm not talking about that today. I'm not talking about something that we're like, oh, you this great Christianity, you're way out there, you're doing way above. Can we talk tonight, this morning, just for Sunday school? Because I believe before we get into really growing in our faith, isn't it reasonable to expect that we should be doing the basics at least? I mean, does that make sense to you? I mean, so I don't know where everybody's at. So for me to go, hey, let me teach you this and this and this, I want to make sure you have the basic down, that which God says is reasonable service. Now to do this, I'm going to start from this perspective. Now this isn't exhaustive, but I think we can all agree. Whenever I look at this passage and I think, what's reasonable Christianity? I come up with like five basic things real quick. Let me put it this way. Do you think it's reasonable for a Christian to pray? I mean, does that make sense? I mean, I think any church we go to, anywhere in America, in the world, I'm going to expect prayer. We had men's prayer meeting today. Boy, that was good. You know, that's not unreasonable to do that. Amen. I mean, I would expect if you're a believer, you pray and talk to God. That is standard stuff. How about this? Would you expect a believer to read their Bible? No, that's standard. I mean, if this is our book, isn't it basic that I know the Bible? That I read it? Well, yeah, okay. We're just, remember, this isn't super Christianity. I'm going to help you real quick before I get into this. What God expects from us, what is reasonable service, I can say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read my Bible. How about this? How about going to church? Since Christ died for the church, is it reasonable to expect a Christian to go to church? Now, I realize in our culture, people are like, well, I worship God on the mountain. No, you don't. No, don't make me preach that message. Okay? No, seriously, see. Oh, no, and don't get that wrong. It's not that you can't, but I'm going to tell you, if you're not worshiping him where he told you to worship him first, then you're not worshiping him up there. I'm going to help you real quick. You may think you are, but if you're going to abandon where he said, I died, he didn't say he died for the mountain, he died for the church. That's what he said. So you start there. Well, then you can worship him in other places. You betcha. But we're not going to just do it our way. And so it's reasonable. Matter of fact, it's a contradiction to me for someone to say I'm a Christian and not in the house of God because Christ died for the church. Again, don't get me started. I could go a long time on that one. Those are basic. But that's not, how about giving? Would giving be basic? How about sharing your faith? Would that be basic? Okay, now what I just covered is what we call, your preachers probably preach on all the time. You're going to hear about giving and you're going to hear about going to church and reading your Bible. I wish you'd stop saying, read your Bible. Well, if we'd all do it, we'd stop saying it. We'd move on. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, these are basic things. And I expect every believer, and they're saved for any length of time, they're going to grow in those areas. They're going to know those areas. I mean, they're going to be a part of those areas. But to be quite honest, we usually stop there. And we think, okay, that's basic Christianity. Can we get into the verses, though? That's not what God said. Now, God expects those, but when you look at what God expects as just basic, reasonable Christianity, service that he expects from every one of us, he gives us two verses here that goes a little bit deeper that, to be quite honest, in our culture of Christianity, we think these are like super Christians. What we're about to go over, we're like, oh, they're at level two. I'm going to help you. It's level one. It's not level two. It's still called basic Christianity. And can I tell you, as we're looking at revival, all of us want to ask ourselves, am I at least doing the standard, the basic. And if not, that ought to be goal number one during revival. Then I'm going to get better in these areas. Why? Because before I can grow in my faith, I've got to at least have the foundation. I watch sports, and what I know this about sports, to get better, usually every year during their practice time and prep, they go back to what they call the basics or fundamentals. Why? Before you can get somebody to the next level, they got to have the basics down first, whatever that is. You got to teach you how to block better, teach you how to run your routes better, teach you how to shoot better, whatever it is. You're going to go through those fundamentals. Then we're going to do some advanced plays. Well, hey, before we get to advanced Christianity, how about we just be basic Christianity? It'd be good. So let's take a look at it. He begins here, and as we look at what is reasonable to Jesus Christ, and that's how I present it. What does God say is reasonable now that we're saved? Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I wrote here, number one, if you like to take notes. You know what's reasonable for God to expect out of us? Besides those things I mentioned, can I tell you this? A sacrifice life. You know what we look at? If somebody surrenders to the ministry or someone says, I just want to surrender to whatever God wants for my life. Maybe I'm going to be a good dad, a good mom, and I'm going to be a helper in the church or a deacon or a teacher, or I'm going to clean the church, whatever it's got, I'll do. We're like, wow, they just went to another level. No, it's reasonable. God says, I expect every believer to surrender to me. Why? We belong to him. If you're following, Israel's been at war really for a long time. Now, the most recent one's been about 18 months. Y'all know the story about Hamas and what they've done. And it was kind of like their 9/11. And I mean, horrible, horrific situation. Are you aware that Israel has what's called conscription? In other words, when you turn 18, if you're not familiar with this, everybody, men and women, must do a 2 to 3 year military service. Mandatory. Matter of fact, 75% of those in the nation, if you look it up online, will have to go through it. There's some exemptions that people fall under, you know, for different reasons, but about 75% of the population, in other words, will have to go to boot camp. We have to be trained how to shoot, how to think, how to operate in somewhere. Why? Because they're in a constant state of battle. Are you aware of that? Stop and think about that. I've always thought, what a neat thing. I know we always challenge like our young people, man, go to Bible college for at least a year. Why? It's kind of like spiritual boot camp. You know, just get trained. You say, well, I'm not called in the ministry. You don't have to be. Maybe you have some program here or something. Man, I'm going to get online and take Bible courses for a year. And we have what's called FBI at our church. And you can take a 3-year Bible, that's a 3-year Bible program where you learn every book of the Bible. Man, that's fabulous. It's a really good thing. We got people that, you know, because they got jobs and families and they're doing that saying, man, I just want to be a better soldier of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you? We're all soldiers for Jesus Christ. It's not just a preacher. It's not just Brother Mark. Can I tell you? Everybody is in the service of Almighty God. And you know what's reasonable? It's reasonable for everybody to say, hey, I belong to you. I surrender my life to you, God. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. No, that's what the Bible says. That's what Paul said here. He's like, hey, it's reasonable service. There's some things that are weird that we just, we're living in a different society and even for Christianity. And it gets frustrating sometimes. We talk about, you know, just giving your body and being holy unto the Lord. I'm in Ponca City and in the Kay County area. We are number one in the state in teen pregnancies. Now, that's not a good stat. I'm going to help you real quick. If you're a young lady and in that stat and you get pregnant without being married, the national average is 80% of those young ladies will live in poverty the rest of their life. The rest of their life. And that's the area we live in. The amount of young people who live together, get pregnant, I mean, it's just so standard in our community, it blows my mind, and we're in the Bible Belt. And are you ready? That's normal there. You know what happens when a young couple comes and they've decided to, because they belong to God, to do it the Bible way, and they're not living together before they get married, and they don't have a kid before they get married. Matter of fact, they're actually saying, hey, we're going to wait to be intimate until we get married. You know what happens in churches? We get excited. We're like, whoa, best couple ever. Throw a party, man. Give lots of gifts. Super Christians. Really? No, I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, I get so excited. I'm like, oh, man, this is a sharp couple, babe. Why? Because they just did what every Christian has done for generations. But if we do it nowadays, we're like, wow, that's so amazing. Do you see what I'm saying? We get so messed up, we don't realize all of us belong to God. All of us belong to God. And it's reasonable that we come to God and say, hey, I give you my life, and I'm going to live a holy life. He says that my body belongs to you in every facet, and I'm going to serve you in every way, my hands, my feet, my mouth. I belong to you. And that doesn't mean you're all going into ministry. You know why? I need someone to preach to. If you're all in the ministry, I have no one to preach to. No, most likely that's not going to happen. God doesn't call everybody to ministry. Sure, you're in a ministry from the aspect that we're all servants of God, where we're at. But I don't know why we can't come to a point and say, no. I'm a Christian, which means I'm a soldier of the cross. Male or female, I belong to him. And I ought to come to a point saying, God, then I belong to you. Which means before I do anything, I love 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the living God? Paul was like going, you don't know that? I mean, it's like basic. He's like, oh, this isn't super stuff. You don't know that? In other words, everything we do, one of the great arguments of how I should live and what I should do, it's real simple. You know, we always go back to what would Jesus do, and which is a good one. But the reality is, since I belong to God, shouldn't we be asking him before we do anything? It's funny how we live our life. We do whatever we want, and God's kind of afterthought. We're usually calling to him once we make mistakes, which is good. You ought to. Don't get me wrong. You ought to. But you know what's even better? Is I live my life this way. I am a child of the King. As a child of the King, I have dedicated my life to him, to serve him, to follow him, because I'm a soldier of the cross. And it's reasonable for me to live a sacrificed life unto my God. Why? Wait a minute. Because I'm a Christian. May I remind you? He sacrificed for me. We will never even match the sacrifice that he's done for us. And so when I look at this, number one, and I look at just basic Christianity, not super yet, we're not even to another level yet, I see this philosophy that says this, I belong to God, I ought to sacrifice and live a holy life for him. Number two, I wrote this down. And then it goes into it, and he says in verse two, and be not conformed. Now, there's been a lot of verses on this, a lot of teaching, which is good. Be not conformed. In other words, you don't want to have an image like. In other words, be not conformed, molded unto. It's amazing to me how even as Christians, so many people admire individuals that aren't godly. Okay, now, don't take that farther than it needs to be. I can respect talent. You know what I'm saying? Even people who are ungodly, you know, they sing well, they play well. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I can respect that. You know, that's different than being admiring and wanting to be like them. Okay, there's a whole difference there. I can say, oh, that person's a great ball player. That person's a great singer. But I tell you what, we ought to be trying to be conformed like people who are like Jesus Christ. Our heroes ought to be those people like Jesus Christ. And the Bible's very clear. He says, be not conform to this world, but be transformed. And when I look at this conforming to this world, here's what comes out to me. We have a Christian culture that's different. You all have never been to Oklahoma, most of you. We have our own culture in Oklahoma. I'm getting ready to learn your culture in Wyoming. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure I'm going to find out. As I drive around and go, people, I'll hear if you have an accent. I'll find out what you like. I'll find out what the attitudes of the people are like, what the spirit is like. No, I'm going to find that out. If you came to Oklahoma, you'd learn that as well. Years ago, I remember people used to think, even my family, we're in Oklahoma, they wanted to know if we lived in tents. I'm like, we actually have running water, in case you're wondering. You know, I mean, but you see how people think, you know, weird and different and everything, and because I don't know it. We've been on several missions trips, and I'll tell you, every missions trip I've been on, it is so different. No, it's a different world. Now, seriously, we've been to Malta, Romania, Bulgaria, Mexico. You start writing this down, and I'm telling you, everywhere we go, it's a different language. Went down to Mexico. I studied Spanish for 2 years, learned nothing. Personal tutor. I realized I do not do languages. Because as soon as we stepped off the plane, we're there, they start talking, I'm like, I'm lost. This was before the age of, you know, on your phone, you got that translator. I'm like, where was that 30 years ago? You know, now I can actually go. We go to Malta, and praise God, they spoke English. That was good. But it's different. I remember we got off the plane, and the missionary grabbed some of our guys to do some work. And on the way, he stopped to get them cheesecake. Anybody here like cheesecake? I love cheesecake. American cheesecake is good. Malta cheesecake is horrible. You say, why? It's cheese. Now, I get it. You know, they probably got it right because it's actually cheese. You know, so the boy's like, yeah, I'll take some cheesecake. And they bite in there. They're like, what is this? Yeah, we went out to eat, and I think this was Romania. We went out to eat, and somebody ordered monkey brain. Yeah. I have never seen monkey brain on any menu in America. I'm going to help you real quick. But somebody thought that would be cool. So we're there, and again, different foods. And they ordered horse. They ordered monkey brain. And they thought it'd be cool that everybody would try the monkey brain. Now, of course, at that time, I'm older and wiser than the whole group there. And because they start taking a bite, and every single one of them would take a bite and go, the next one, I mean, they're spitting it out. It gets to me. They're like, your turn. I'm like, nope. They're like, chicken, chicken. I'm like, oh, stop. I'm way too old for that. You can say chicken all you want, okay? First of all, I don't care what you say. I've just watched every one of you take a bite. I don't need a bite. Why? Not one of you like it. It's just a rite of passage to what? Stupidity? I mean, what rite of passage? I mean, that's dumb, okay? I just watched you all do something very dumb, you know? And not one person's talking, okay, I don't need to bite this. Nobody liked it. You know, but I mean, that's their culture. You know, they're like, we like monkey brain. We like horse. We like, no, stop. Every culture is different. The language is different. The way they operate is different. They have to teach us that. Don't do this. Don't say this. That's offensive in our culture. Can I tell you? We have a Christian culture. No. Folks, we have a Christian culture. Can I tell you? We ought to be vastly different than the world. We live in the world, but they ought to know. I can't go anywhere where people don't know that I'm a preacher. And it's not because I'm popular and famous. You say, how do they know? It's the haircut. It's the clothes I wear. Trust me, I know that. I decided not to change it, but I'll be walking somewhere. You a preacher? We were on a cruise, and we were sitting with these couples. Everybody's going around telling them what they do. And sure enough, it got to us, and I tell them I'm a minister. And the guy next to me goes, I knew it. I mean, the first time I had met him, I'm like, okay, was there a blinking light? Preacher. You know, but it just, what is it? I mean, preacher, we have our own culture. You know, the way we dress, the way we talk, I mean, it's just the way it is. In church, folks, we have a culture. Now, wait a minute, that's not bad. It's the way it ought to be. Why? Because, folks, we're not conformed to this world. As a matter of fact, when I stop and think about this, and I put it this way, not only do we have a sacrifice life, can I tell you? It's natural that we would have a separated life. Oh, we go out to eat like everybody else. What's different then? We pray before we eat. There's a different spirit about us. Our conversations at the table are different. No, there's no cussing. There's no talking about this worldly stuff. No, there's a different conversation. No, come on. Can we be honest? There's a different lifestyle about a Christian, even in this world. And can I tell you? That ought to be normal. People ought to know, if they can't put their finger on it and they don't know that you're a Christian, they ought to know this. There's something different about you. One of our young ladies got a job at a bank. She's getting ready to be a teacher at her school, and she got a job at a bank, and she didn't go in there with her Bible thumping them or anything. But after talking to these young ladies, they're talking about their boyfriends and how bad it is and what's going on. And she'd been there, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. And all of a sudden, the girls noticed she never cussed. Never cussed. Always had a good spirit. And all of a sudden, they started coming in, and they'd say cuss word and go, oh, sorry, Megan. She'd never one time go, don't you be cussing around me. Don't you do that. I'm a Christian. No, she did her job, but they knew. And then they're asking, like, what is so different about you? She got to bring one of her coworkers to work the church a couple times. Been a blessing. Been just a huge blessing. But I thought about this. I said, shouldn't there be something different about us? Wait. Isn't that what Paul says real quickly? He says, here's reasonable service. Everybody belongs to God. We have a sacrifice life saying, Lord, whatever you want. Not only that, but everyone lives a separated life. We live different. Now, here's what I believe also. I am convinced that one of your greatest testimonies is that our lives are different. We went out with another pastor, and he had some young kids, and a young man that we know because he interned with us for a while. But we're sitting in a restaurant in this town in Colorado, which, by the way, very disappointing. I hadn't been to Colorado, and my first trip to Colorado, and when you go to Colorado, you're expecting to see mountains. There was no mountains in this town. You pull in, literally, I think it was the armpit of Colorado. They should have called it Nebraska. It looked just like it. I'm like, what happened to the mountains? So I was like an hour away, preacher. You deceived me. You lied to me. Anyway, so we're in this restaurant. It's seriously a dirty town. We're in this restaurant, and my wife and I are sitting here, him and his wife. Well, it was a small booth, so they put the kids right next to us. And I'll never forget this because we're eating, we're doing our thing. I really didn't even notice the kids. I mean, because it was quiet, everything was good. But as people began paying and leaving, two groups stopped by the table, and this is what they said. They said, "Are these your kids?" And of course, I'm like, "Not my kids, they're his kids. There's some problem. It's definitely on him." And the husband and wife said, "Listen, I've never seen kids so well-behaved in all my life." And another group behind them goes, "Yeah, us too." And then the waiter comes by, and same thing. He's like, "Oh, yeah. No, we've not had kids in here like this." And I'm like going, and I remember walking away telling my wife, "Wow. You know, oh, they're normal kids. You know what I'm saying? But they were used to be rambunctious and not listen to mom and dad." And here was a good testimony. They just listened to mom and dad. They were just good. Oh, I imagine they played and did things, but they weren't rowdy and nobody had to settle them down and they weren't interrupted. No. They were teachable and trainable. No, wait a minute. I'm convinced our marriages and our families become one of our greatest evidences. Are you aware of that? You want to live a separated life? Just live the way the Bible tells you to. Because I'll tell you, you will stick out like a sore thumb in this world. You don't have to walk around with a neon light going, "Christian, Christian, Christian." You don't have to walk around with a King James Bible 10 times this size, walking downtown. I mean, you don't have to. But you know what you can do? You can live such a separated life that folks, just in your daily living at work, at school, and at home, people know there's something different about you in a good way. And when the door of opportunity comes, you're like, you know what it is? It's Jesus. We have way too many people trying to be like this world as Christians, and I don't understand why. When my boys were in school, I'll never forget, my boys went to the local high school. That time we didn't have our Christian school, and no Christian school went over eighth grade in town. We tried homeschooling, and that went okay for a while. And then we thought, you know, again, long story, but I decided I want to just test my boys and see how they're doing. And we decided that if it's not good, we'll pull them out. But a little different from girls. We didn't have girls, we had boys. And so I'm not recommending this. I'm just telling you our philosophy behind it. But I knew my boys had to be men and make decisions one day. They'd grown up in church, and I just wanted to test it. I just wanted to test it and see how they were going to do. And so we put them in there. And we're like, okay, here you go. And there's challenges to them. There's no debate. There was challenges to them. And they ran into situations and so forth. But pretty quickly, people recognize they're different. They're different. They didn't go to the parties. They didn't do the same thing. Matter of fact, I'll never forget one particular instance where my oldest son, Jonathan, he was on the baseball team, moved up to varsity in ninth grade, and there he was. And I can't remember if it was ninth or 10th grade, but my wife showed up one day, and she was just bringing some snacks for him, and he was surrounded by, like, all the seniors. Now, she could hear what was being said. He's on the field, but all of a sudden, he sees her, and he walks kind of right through the midst of them, comes over. You have mom's intuition, you know what I'm saying? She's like, "Everything okay?" And son's like, "Normal, lighter than mom's." "Stop it, Jax, just stop it." Okay, just kidding. He goes, "Everything's fine." And Brenda comes home, but when I got home from work, she's like, "I don't know." She tells me a situation. She goes, "I just felt like something was off." And I'm like, "Okay, hey, Jonathan." So I called Jonathan. I'm like, "Hey, anything strange happen at practice?" "Nope." "Okay, well, mom told me about this incense you were surrounding." He goes, "Oh, yeah, that had nothing to make." "Well, what was going on?" "Oh, they just wanted me to cuss." I'm like, "What?" "Yeah, they surrounded me and said they're not going to let me out until I cuss." I'm like, "Seriously?" "Yeah, yeah, they're tired of it." Because, of course, they felt bad because everybody cussed but him. And so they're threatening to make him cuss if he's going to be part of the team. And he's like, "No." And we taught him a phrase. It was this: "I've given my life to Jesus, so I cannot do that." But they'd recognize really quickly, you know, there's something different, and we want you to be more like us. And I'm telling you, there's way too many people trying to be like the world. And when you do that, you have no impact. No impact. As soon as you say, "Yeah, give me that drink. Yeah, I'll go ahead and cuss so I can fit in." And I don't even understand why teenagers try to fit in, because literally, 80% of the people you went to high school with, you'll never see again. Now, there's exceptions in small towns. I get that. But then I don't see anybody that I went to high school with. Okay, so college, most of my college, I don't see a lot of those guys at all. And yet we do all we can to fit into a place in a situation that is so temporary and means nothing. Means nothing. You know what does mean something? The Church of the Living God. You want to fit in somewhere? You fit into the Church of the Living God. Why? You're Christians. You learn the culture of the church. And I live a sacrificed life for my God. And I live a separated life. And I, so, yes, I have to have some standards and some directions and whatever those are. And I'm not here to tell you what those ought to be, but I'm just telling you, there ought to be some standards in your family and some directions that is different than the rest of the world. Why? This is what Paul said. No, wait. This isn't super Christianity. You're like, well, this is deep. It's not deep. Are you ready? This is basic Christianity. Basic Christianity. He doesn't stop there. Look at the very next one. We're going to run out of time, but we're going to look at it. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A spiritual mindset is a necessity for believers. As a matter of fact, you know what's interesting to me? After we get saved, the first area that God works on is going to surprise you. It's not the outside, it's the inside. No. You know the area you ought to start changing? The way you think. Barna, it's called the Christian Pollster, does these surveys about every 4 or 5 years on what he calls a biblical worldview. In these surveys on the biblical worldview, he'll list about 6 things that we agree with even as Baptists. So he says, if you have a biblical worldview, you'll believe things like this, that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. You all believe that? Yeah. There's a heaven and a hell. You all believe that? Yeah. That we believe in the Word of God, that it's the authority, the Word of God. Everybody, you see what I'm saying? I mean, we believe in a Satan, you know? I mean, it's all simple. Seriously, virgin birth. He literally lists like 5 or 6 things is what it is. That's what it is. In other words, we believe these things. I'm like, that's like, most of Christianity should believe that. I mean, to be quite honest with you. In their surveys, and it keeps getting worse. Are you ready? Only 8% of professing believers have a biblical worldview. 8%. That is shocking. I said, well, yeah, that's all a Christian. What'd you do? And no offense, get a lot of Catholics, Methodists. Who'd you survey? Took a look at Baptists. It didn't change. Been in Ponca City 38 years. God led us to start a Christian school. And one of the hearts of that 5 years ago was this. Our kids weren't thinking the way they ought to think. They were not viewing this world through the Word of God. There is a lack of a biblical worldview. When you get saved, you think different. You think different. One of the things that ought to transform and be different in view is a spiritual mindset. We don't think like everybody else. In fact, they think we're weird. No, seriously. And I'm not going to get into politics now. We always like to go there. No, I'm not talking about politics. I'm just talking about life in general. We think totally different. Why? Because we're supposed to think like Jesus Christ. You say, how do I learn to think like that? Here's the secret. Are you ready? You have to get in the Word of God. You have to. When you get around somebody, I don't know if you're aware of this, but when you're around someone long enough, you start thinking like them. And that's scary sometimes. My poor wife, she probably thinks a lot like me now, and you need to pray for her. I've ruined her life. But it is, you know, husbands and wives, the longer you're together, you know, we're different people, right? But you start understanding how the other person thinks, and you start developing the same philosophy, the major philosophies of life. You know what I'm saying? And we start operating a lot the same way. Why? Just the way it works. You know, when you get close to Jesus Christ, what happens? You start thinking like Jesus. In other words, you start thinking, you start seeing things from a different viewpoint. I put on this, you start seeing it with different glasses. You know, I got to wear reading glasses. And it's almost like the spiritual transforming of the mind is the way I look at everything in this world, whether it be politics or social issues, is this, through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. See, if I don't have these glasses on, I don't read real well. And I'm convinced there's a lot of Christians not doing real well spiritually. Here's why. You're not seeing things through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And because of that, there's more of the world in us than we want to admit. And some of the very ways we think and the attitudes we have in church around other people do not match the Word of God. Here's the problem. That's because I have too much of the world and not enough of the Word in me. Folks, you ought to start thinking like a Christian. Well, how's a Christian think? Well, we don't think like this. Kill them all! There's a lot of wicked people out there. Kill them all! You say, well, preacher, I do. You know why we don't think that way? Because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And even when we see wickedness out there, we don't agree with it, but our mindset is they need Jesus. We don't agree with it. I'm not going to side with it, but they need Jesus. There's such a division today in our world, even for politics. I've never seen it so polarizing. Democrats and Republicans, it's the craziest thing. You know, and I'm not a big politician person, but I'll watch. And it's like Republicans hate Democrats and Democrats hate Republicans. And I'll see that flood into the church. And here's the danger of that. Folks, be careful with stuff like that. Why? Folks, we ought to care about souls. I don't have to agree with somebody's philosophy and politics. I'm not going to if it's liberal. You know what I'm saying? But I got to love them and give them Jesus. You say, where'd you get that from? The Bible. You know what I'm saying? The Bible. You know? But isn't it easy to get caught up with stuff like that? I mean, it's easy to get caught up with all this kind of stuff. And we have fun with it. I'll laugh about it sometimes. I'll have fun with it. I don't get offended by it. But all I'm saying is I'll watch. I'll watch as people raise their kids and just daily living. And I'm like, here's what's missing. Are you ready? We don't think like God tells us we ought to think. One of the greatest dangers in our churches today is poor thinking. Because we're not thinking spiritual. You get upset about something, get mad, we revert to worldly, carnal thinking about an issue instead of taking it to a spiritual realm. And here's a good spiritual thought. Are you ready? There's not one person in here that's your enemy. Your enemy is Satan. That doesn't mean you're always going to get along. Welcome to life. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm convinced if you're here long enough, someone's going to irritate you. You say, well, I've never been irritated. You haven't been long enough. Well, I've been here like 30 years. I've never been irritated. You need to serve more. I'm going to tell you, you get involved in a ministry, someone's going to irritate you. No, seriously. And when they do, your first thought ought to be this. I just got offended. Yeah, baby, I'm in. You're part of the family because families offend each other. And what do? Well, you think like the Bible does. We talk about it, we forgive one another, and we move on. Why? That's what the Bible, you see what I'm saying? I can go on and on about stuff like that. I'm just saying, we're not as spiritually minded as we ought to be. And can I tell you, that is basic Christianity. Oh, there's a big broad scope there, I get that. But here's what Jesus is saying. Yeah, you ought to pray, you ought to give, you ought to go to church, yeah, of course. Yeah, that's basic, but here's what I also expect out of basic Christianity. Every believer will say, God, I belong to you, sacrifice life. Every believer will be on a journey to separate themselves from the world while we're still trying to reach the world, everybody. And every believer will say this, I will develop a spiritual mind. They'll have the mind of Christ, start thinking like him. And God says, now that's reasonable service that he expects out of every one of us. And I'm not foolish. I get there's levels to those things. I get that. And that's why Revive, we can grow in all those areas. But we ought to at least have those basics. That makes sense? Here's what God wants out of us. Reasonable service. That we will reasonably serve our God who died for us and saved us. Why? Because he deserves it. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now, Lord. We'll stop there this morning and so much more in Romans and even these verses, Lord. But Lord, as we take the time this morning just to contemplate on our service to you, Lord, I pray that each one of us, as we begin revival, will look to see if we're even, Lord, doing the basics, the fundamentals. And like just like in life, sometimes you have to go back to those things. And it's not that you have to relearn them. We just have to start redoing them. And Lord, implementing them in our life the way that we ought to. Lord, maybe you've already talked to someone here this morning. And even as we come into the main service, Lord, in a time of prayer, that maybe someone will come and say, Lord, I need to get back to these areas. I need to get stronger in these basic areas so that I can grow more in my faith. Whatever it might be, Lord, bless this church in a great way. Use them in a great way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.